what are my goals in being an activist? Mm-hmm. How can I show up as an activist? How can I show up as an ally to activists who are doing work similar to mine, but in a different sphere? So yeah. That's the first step. And then the second step is reaching out to people who are doing the same thing. I don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
But that is also the most important part about activism, I think, is recognizing that none of us have all the answers. And the only way we can get the answers is by working together and using our combined knowledge.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Namibia's High Court decriminalizes sex between men, Thailand is poised to enact marriage equality, and present pride builds on vintage protest movements. Those stories and more this week, now that you found This Way Out.
I'm David Hunt.
And I'm Ava Davis.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending June 22nd, 2024. Sex between men is no longer a crime in Namibia. A three-judge panel of the High Court has ruled that the colonial-era sodomy laws unconstitutionally targeted gay men. The judge's June 21st opinion admitted that male homosexual activity may be unpopular in the conservative country. However, they wrote, the enforcement of the private moral views of a section of the community, even if they form the majority of that community, which are based to a large extent on nothing more than prejudice, poses a greater threat to the fabric of society as a whole than tolerance. Activist Friedel Dausab brought his challenge in 2020 with the help of the British NGO Human Dignity Trust. His attorneys argued that the sodomy laws unfairly and irrationally discriminate against him and other gay men on the basis of sex and sexual orientation, and thus infringe his constitutional right to equality, dignity, privacy, freedom of expression, and freedom of association. Namibian Attorney General Festus Mbandeka responded that the primarily Christian Southwest African country is still too conservative to accept the change. For Dausab, it is a great day for Namibia. This is good for young LGBTQ people to know that their love is not a crime.
Thailand will soon be the first Southeast Asian country to open civil marriage to same-gender couples. A bill that extends them the same rights as their heterosexual counterparts passed its final reading in the Senate on June 18th. The House of Representatives overwhelmingly approved marriage equality in April. Next comes the rubber stamp approval of King Maha Vajiralongkorn. The new laws will then take effect within 120 days of its official publication in the Government Gazette. Prime Minister Srettha Thevisan and his Phuy Thai party were strong supporters. They were so confident of victory in the Senate that the rainbow carpet was already rolled out for a government house celebration. Rainbow and Thai flags and a giant balloon in the shape of two hands making a heart sign adorned the main building. A procession of floats carried leading lawmakers, celebrities, foreign diplomats, and trailblazing Thai activists. Thevisan missed the party because he recently tested positive for COVID-19. He tweeted, "We will continue our fight for social rights for all people, regardless of their status." Macha Forin is a founder of the Thai queer advocacy Sangsung Anakat Yawachon Foundation. She reflected on the long-fought-for victory for Deutsche Welle.
I think we have been struggling for almost two decades to advancing right to family for LGBTIQ people. We lost some of our colleagues along the way, but we have been involving with a lot of young activists. This marriage equality achievement means so much for our community, especially LGBTIQ young people.
Thailand will be Asia's third marriage equality country, following Taiwan and Nepal.
In the U.S., six more states can ignore the Biden administration's efforts to protect LGBTQ students. Federal District Judge Danny C. Reeves struck down the interpretation of Title IX rules banning sex-based bias in education. Beginning with, "There are only two sexes, male and female," Reeves insisted, "Sex and gender identity do not mean the same thing. The Biden interpretation conflicts with the plain language of Title IX and therefore exceeds its authority to promulgate regulations under that statute." Reeves' June 17th decision came just days after another federal judge reached the same conclusion in a case covering the Republican-dominated states of Idaho, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Montana. This week's action adds the Republican-led states of Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia to the list. Republican attorneys general from Arkansas, Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota also jointly challenged the Biden guidelines last month.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre began a regular press briefing on June 17th by recognizing LGBTQA plus Pride Month. The lesbian daughter of Haitian immigrants said, in part,
"Last year, more than 600 anti-LGBTQI plus bills were filed in state houses across the country, and a significant portion of them target transgender youth. As President Biden says, these young people are some of the bravest people he knows, but no one should have to be brave just to be themselves."
To all of you, happy Pride Month. Happy Pride Year. Happy Pride Life.
I want to close by saying to the LGBTQI plus community that there is always someone you can talk to if you're going through a hard time and need support. The Biden-Harris administration launched the 988 line to help, and we have a line dedicated to serving LGBTQI plus young people that can be reached by dialing 988 and pressing 3. Again, dialing 988 and pressing 3. This month, we will continue to celebrate courageous LGBTQI plus people and take pride in the example they set for our nation and around the world.
That's White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
For the first time since the Russian invasion, LGBTQ pride was demonstrated in Kyiv. Even though the time and location of the Equality March was publicized only by word of mouth, more than 500 people hit the streets on June 16th under banners declaring, "No peace without justice for Ukraine," and "United toward victory." Queer Ukrainian soldiers with rainbow badges on their uniforms joined the procession, carrying a large banner with photographs honoring fallen comrades. Kyiv Pride organizers' original request earlier this month to hold the annual march in the city's subway system was denied. They thought underground would be the safest venue during wartime, but city officials cited security concerns. A strong police presence kept the march to the agreed-upon 100-meter route for about 30 minutes. After the Equality March dispersed, several hundred right-wing militants charged in, but they chanted their anti-Russian slogans and homophobic death threats to an empty street. Kyiv Pride tweeted an appeal for support from queers and allies around the world, posting, "Pride Month in Ukraine is about struggle. We don't just want to celebrate diversity. Now we are fighting not only for rights and freedoms, but for our independence."
Finally, Pope Francis's unfortunate homophobic slur has come back to haunt him. The Roman Catholic pontiff was recently reported not once, but twice, using the expression "frochogeny," as in too much frochogeny in seminaries. It's also an offensive F-word for gay men in English. Even though the Vatican had issued a formal apology, participants in Rome's 30th annual LGBTQ Pride Parade on June 15th used his remarks for all they were worth. A daikon bike in a rainbow-colored hat led the parade, holding a sign reading, "Attention, from here on, high levels of frochogeny." Several marchers paraded in papal regalia, one of whom held a sign warning, "There is too much Prachogeny in this parade." Doctored photos of the Pope in a furry pink scarf or in pink sunglasses seemed to be everywhere. One pride-goer's banner gave the gracious invitation, "Francie, you are welcome in our parish."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending June 22, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappell, with special thanks this week to Jason Lynn, produced by Brian DeShazor, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm David Hunt. Stay healthy.
And I'm Ava Davis. Stay safe.
Hi, I'm Cleve Jones, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. An informed community is a strong community.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
Hello. It's Pride Month, and we are continuing our special features. This week, Pride is a protest. Then, now, and forever. We are looking back on the origins of Pride, taking stock of where we are now, and where Pride and LGBTQ+ activism is headed. I'm Daniel Wasillas. Stay tuned, but first, we would like to take a moment to thank one of our sponsors. This Way Out Radio accepts sponsors through ethical underwriting. We want to take a moment to thank MMD Shops, cannabis providers for Southern California, and the subject of the Hulu series High Hopes, for being a Pride sponsor for This Way Out. We met up with Sarah Dale at MMD Shops Hollywood Pride booth to talk about their support.
Well, we sponsor This Way Out because its historic significance within gay culture and the gay community cannot be overstated. The stories of people, you know, in the Midwest, all around the world, you know, in the 80s, not having a way to connect. This is before the internet. This is when things were truly underground. They could tune in terrestrially, you know, to hear about what was going on and that they weren't alone. We are so honored to partner with This Way Out. You know that the cannabis community owes the largest, you know, debt to the LGBTQ community. Cannabis is legal because of the HIV/AIDS epidemic. West Hollywood and San Francisco were the first municipalities to allow cannabis for palliative care. And that's what started this movement. And that's why we're honored to be a part of that history, legacy, and to hopefully grow safe and equitable access to cannabis for all.
That was Sarah Dale of MMD Shops, a This Way Out Pride partner. LGBTQIA+ people embody protest just by existing as other in the present society. 20th century demonstrations, marches, and rallies were all central components in the struggle for queer liberation. The reserved picket lines of the 1950s gave way to the bolder actions of the early to mid-1960s, like the Compton's cafeteria riot in San Francisco and the protest against the Black Cat Tavern raid in Los Angeles. Frustration exploded in 1969 at the Stonewall Rebellion in New York City, which we will get into a little bit more later. Since its first broadcast on April 1, 1988, This Way Out has honored the pioneers and chronicled the protests of the modern LGBTQIA+ movement that has spread around the globe since then. All of that history is amassed in the 1,744 This Way Out programs, now available for research and reference at AmericanArchive.org. That's AmericanArchive.org. We can celebrate Pride today, listening to the sounds of protests from that newly preserved collection. The treasure trove of old reel-to-reel tapes and cassettes have been digitized thanks to a grant from the Mellon Foundation and the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, a collaboration between the Library of Congress, GBH, and UC Santa Barbara Special Collections. Keith Brown and Ira Revels at our affiliate station WWUH West Hartford, Connecticut, provided special assistance. The Library of Congress is committed to preserving materials for 500 years. For this feature, we are rolling back the reels on some of our coverage, highlighting protests pivotal to queer liberation. The first piece is from the first ever episode of This Way Out in April of 1988. It centers around Clause 29, a law in the United Kingdom which prevented local municipal authorities from promoting homosexuality. Following, you will hear a report from February 1989 covering AIDS protests blocking morning commuter traffic on the San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge. And finally, you will hear a report from September 1996 of protests against the signing of DOMA, a United States federal law that banned federal recognition of same-sex marriage by limiting the definition of marriage to the union of one man and one woman, allowing states to refuse to recognize same-sex marriage granted under the laws of other states.
The practical effects of this law would be the closure of gay centers funded by councils, the ending of lesbian and gay equality units, and possibly the removal of licenses for gay pubs and clubs. Positive images of homosexuality in schools will be outlawed, as will the promotion of gay or lesbian lifestyles as pretend family relationships. Whilst help for AIDS organisations is specifically excluded from the bill, there is little doubt in the minds of lesbians and gays that these swingeing new measures are part of a growing homophobic backlash following in the wake of the AIDS crisis. Sections of the British press have helped to fuel anti-gay feeling and activity by giving prominence to outbursts from well-known people who seek to blame the legalisation in the 1960s of homosexual acts for the AIDS epidemic. The response from lesbians and gays has been swift and vociferous. A march through the streets of London on January the 9th drew 12,000 people after only 3 weeks' notice. On its way, the march stopped outside Prime Minister Thatcher's residence in Downing Street, where the marchers made their feelings on this new legislation very clear. The march continued past Parliament to a rally addressed by speakers who included out gay Member of Parliament Chris Smith.
I'm afraid that we're facing very, very difficult, nasty, prejudiced, bigoted times in this country at the moment. And this clause is just one example. It's the worst example, but it's just one example of the flavour of this government, this parliament, and the climate that we're living in.
Further action is planned in cities around the country, which will remind all those who'd have us back in the closet that we're out and we're staying out.
In California, thousands of commuters were trapped in their cars on the Golden Gate Bridge for over an hour by a synchronized blockade designed to draw attention to the plight of people with AIDS and their anger with the federal government. While the commuters idled captive in their cars, the protesters asked why the government allows them to be held hostage to AIDS. Tim Kingston was out there in the morning fog with the Stop AIDS or Else Coalition.
We stop the bridge for 30 minutes! We stop the bridge for 30 minutes! We stop the bridge for 30 minutes!
That's the chant of 28 Stop AIDS or Else protesters after they are arrested for blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. They created a traffic jam that extended all the way back to Corte Madera on Highway 101. Demonstrators materialized out of the fog and spread a 60-foot banner across the width of the bridge, reading "Silence equals death and AIDS equals genocide." Over 80 protesters ran among the stalled traffic, handing out leaflets to commuters and protesting what they say is the government's business-as-usual attitude.
I'm here because I have AIDS and I don't want to die.
That's Terry Sutton, one of the Stop AIDS or Else members arrested.
What the message is that we can't, that we won't passively sort of wait to lose our people. We're facing a genocide. And we have to do something to stop AIDS.
People are dying because the government isn't doing enough. It isn't moving treatment drugs through fast enough. It's not educating people. And thousands of people are dying literally because the government isn't making those resources available. It's not teaching people how not to get AIDS, and it's not putting the drugs through the testing process fast enough.
In the days following the Senate's decisions on DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, and ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, gays and lesbians in cities around the United States responded by taking to the streets in protest. We have reports from Mary Salome in San Francisco and John Beaupre in Los Angeles.
A small group of protesters gathered in San Francisco's Castro District for a rice toss over DOMA on September 13th, carrying signs that read, "It takes a gay family to raise a village." The demonstration was the second anti-DOMA action in San Francisco in as many days. Approximately 150 people marched on the Democratic headquarters on the 12th, hoping to send a message to Clinton to veto the Defense of Marriage Act. Event co-organizer Michael Petrelis:
I'd like for all of us to start sending rice, any kind of rice, to start sending rice to the White House as a form of protest. We need to let the world know that gay marriage is about one thing, love.
Among the speakers at the rally's open mic was Crystal Weston, an aide to San Francisco Supervisor Leslie Katz. The fact that ENDA lost by only one vote, she said, means that we are within striking distance of legislative success. But the Senate's support for DOMA is a huge blow to the community.
These stories and so many others are available on AmericanArchive.org. Just search This Way Out. Now, the origin of Pride can be traced back to the Stonewall Riots of 1969 in New York City. These riots were sparked by a police raid on the Stonewall Inn. This led to several days of protests and demonstrations by the LGBTQ+ community against ongoing discrimination and harassment. This event galvanized the community and marked a turning point in the fight for LGBTQ+ rights. Pride emerged as a powerful expression of solidarity, visibility, and celebration of diversity within the community, advocating for equality, acceptance, and recognition of LGBTQ identities. Over the decades, Pride has evolved into larger-scale celebrations, commemorating the progress made in LGBTQ rights while highlighting ongoing challenges and the ongoing fight for equality worldwide. But what does the current state of Pride and protest look like in the 21st century, in the digital age, as new generations of LGBTQ+ people come into their own? To find out, I sat down with Levin Fetzer, Community Engagement Manager at the Pacific Pride Foundation, whose education efforts meet the ongoing and emerging needs of a diverse population in order to create a thriving and visible community on the Central Coast in California. Levin's lived experience as a queer, trans, non-binary, and disabled individual has informed so much of their work and activism that they do online and offline. For context, Levin is 24 and considered part of a queer Generation Z, those born between 1997 and 2012. Levin and I talk about the changing face of protest and activism for young LGBTQ+ people. We also talk about how activism and protests aim to be intersectional and inclusive to all LGBTQ+ people.
Where would you say the current state of activism is for someone of your generation?
It's hard to say, honestly, because for me, I have a very clear view as to what my activism looks like and what my friend's activism looks like. But I also know that people, I would say a lot of it is based in, you know, doing social media campaigns, doing outreach in intersectional ways, and really ensuring that no one is left away from the table. But I would say that in generations younger than me, there's a lack of hope, and that scares me. But I'm also able to sit in the hope that older generations have for us as younger people.
How does activism online pour into the street or pour into the physical spaces?
I think activism online is so much more accessible for people, not just from a actual accessibility standpoint, but also from a disability justice lens, from a class lens, from all of these different factors and segments. It is so much easier to engage in online political activism because it's at the tip of your fingers. You don't have to go outside to do it, which I know during the height of COVID especially was really, really scary for so many people, especially our immunocompromised individuals. And I think for a lot of queer people who are living in silence in their queerness, online activism is also really powerful because they don't have to, they can be anonymous, which is really powerful for certain people. In terms of it pouring into the streets, you know, I think it's a really great place to provide structure for creating in-person events. So I think about, I'm going to San Francisco Pride this upcoming weekend, and I have learned about all of the events that are going on from social media. I've learned about where I want to be, who I want to be with, and what I want to do by going on to different Instagram pages and figuring out what's going on where. So I think it's a rallying call and a rallying cry more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I think the first step is looking inward, what, and assessing yourself. What am I capable of? What do I want to accomplish? What are my goals in being an activist? Mm-hmm. How can I show up as an activist? How can I show up as an ally to activists who are doing work similar to mine, but in a different sphere? So yeah. That's the first step. And then the second step is reaching out to people who are doing the same thing, cold calling, not calling on the phone, but sending an Instagram DM to a friend that is posting on their story and asking, okay, where are you getting this information? What are good Instagram accounts I can follow? And that can be scary to reach out to people that you may not know as well and to be vulnerable in that way of, okay, I don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
But that is also the most important part about activism, I think, is recognizing that none of us have all the answers. And the only way we can get the answers is by working together and using our combined knowledge.
Thank you to Levin Fetzer for their time. And for more information on the Pacific Pride Foundation, you can visit pacificpridefoundation.org. And thank you for listening to This Way Out. Music featured is by Ketza. And this feature was produced by me, along with Brian DeShazer and Lucia Chappelle. We are now at the end of our special features. Thank you once again for listening, but thank you even more for existing. Remember, Pride is personal. Pride is political. Pride is a party. And Pride is a protest. I'm Daniel Macias. Take care and take pride.
Meet the world's first drag laureate, San Francisco's Darcy Dollinger.
We've heard of poet laureates whose job is to elevate the status and appreciation of poetry. So what is a drag laureate?
You can use the exact same terminology, just throw in drag instead of poetry.
The job description starts with be fabulous all the time.
The mayor calls me on my cell phone and cares what I think.
We can change the world by being more fabulous. And you have that power every single day.
Next time on This Way Out. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by David Hunt and Ava Davis and produced by Brian DeShazer with technical assistance by Daniel Huestias, the producer of this week's special Pride feature. The Knack and Kessa performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson, composer, performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks John Beaupre of Los Angeles, California, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Thanks also to Los Angeles cannabis provider MMD Shops for being a This Way Out Pride partner. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on WADR Janesville, Wisconsin, KPNW Bellingham, Washington, 2CHR Cessnock, New South Wales, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay prideful, and stay tuned.